Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. How the devil are you all? We're a bit hungover this end. Again, it's not good. Tell you what, we've even got a member missing. Ellis Mel and his Norwich internet are letting us down again. So God help us all. But he'll join us when he can anyway. Today, I'm joined by that London guy. Say hello, Carl.
Fuck Ellis. Hello, everyone. How's everyone after that game?
straight away you didn't know that. To be fair, he does deserve it, doesn't he?
Of course. Hashtag fuck Ellis, everyone.
Yeah, get on to Twitter, guys. Fuck Ellis. Alongside Carl, we have Josh. Say hello, Josh.
Hello, Josh. How's it going, Jace?
Well, I'm really annoyed with Ellis at the moment because he's late.
I mean, I know why he's late. Now I've got to help him with some technical issues.
Okay, get on with that. I'm going to give some shout-outs.
Do it.
You on it?
I am on it.
Top man. Right, guys, in the chat box we have, first in the box today was Daniel Cronin. Then we have Ann235100. Joe V82 is there. Our favourite Joe V82. Johnny Maverick's there. Tunji Samuel's there. C-Law AFC is there. Blazy Python's there. K-Man 1867 is there. C-Law AFC. Have I mentioned it? Oh, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I went out to rugby again yesterday, guys. It's not pretty. My poor liver's gone. Thunder Road's there. Hello, Thunder Road. Steno 18 is there. Timmy Toby AN is there. Danny the GFP is there. Boo. Yeah, screw you, Danny. Kieran 4215 is there. Akib Alias is there. Hello, Akib, you're right. Guna Guna's there. K Erling Ludvigsen's there. Arsenal Amar's there. Oh, do you know what? Am I down there? Yeah, I'm down there. Stefan Selby, the one, the only Stefan Selby's there. Loki 73 is there. Carly Joel Guna's there as well. Right, yeah, Unique 79. All right, pal. Let's get on with it. Is it bit of a day, annoying to go up the scum and not come away with a win, but hey ho. Carl, first to you. Before we go to lineups, you know, United gave Arsene a presentation with Sir Alex Ferguson and Jose Mourinho. You know, taking care of that. It was a nice touch by United. What were your thoughts?
Very classy. I thought that was very, very good. You know, I didn't, as much as we, you know, Man United are the old enemy. In my era, you know, it's Tottenham first, always, and then Man United second. They're the second enemy. And I thought it was nice. I thought it was very nice. You know, Arsene Wenger and Alex Ferguson be rivals for years, but it's nice, you know, at the end of it, they've come together, sort of, they presented him with a nice little trophy. And it's nice, you know, you've got to give respect is due. We are a classy club, and, you know, for that, I think Man United sort of showed a touch of class there, so that was very nice what they did.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. A couple of other shout outs, guys. Paul Alves, Norma Ott, Nicky Wilson, the one and only Nicky Wilson, Squires 2 for you, they're all in there. If they weren't my favourites, they wouldn't get a shout out. Thunder Road's been a cheeky shit. He really is. Right, on to lineups. Josh, what do you think of lineups, mate?
It was a lineup that I was kind of expecting, to be honest. It's a team that had a lot of rotation in it. We knew a lot of people were going to get rested. A couple of surprises in there personally for me. One of those being Mkhitaryan, who's rumoured he was back in training. I didn't think he'd start the game. I thought we'd ease him back in. But, you know, we've got this great medical department that we've lauded. I know Dom has certainly shouted its praises for the likes of Dan Burgess and Shad Forsyth coming in. So if he's ready for 90 minutes, he was ready for 90 minutes. And then it was Mavropanos, the Greek boy, we should call him, coming in. And I think it's just a really interesting game from that perspective. United were there, you know, with all the big names, as you'd expect. And I think the boys held their own for most of that game there. There were some really surprising performances for me from the likes of Maitland-Niles. I think Reece Nelson also played quite well, who've previously struggled at this level. But yeah, as I say, it was a, I thought we were going to, you know, when the, we got the draw for Atletico, we were going to throw this game as soon as we saw it, because it was just sitting in the wrong point of our fixture list. And overall, I think, I wouldn't say I'm happy with the result. Obviously, we lost, but, you know, it was better than it could have been.
Yeah, it was interesting, actually. Quick shout out to Corey Sealis, Kilo Dogs, Loki 73. I think I'm still on. I do apologise. Yeah, but the thing I liked about today was a case of we put the youngsters in, and it's a case of, right, it's, you know, if you think you're good enough, go and prove it. And some of them really did prove it, which was nice to see. Where's Ellis Mel? Is he here yet?
Fuck Ellis.
Fuck Ellis. That's right. Fuck you, Ellis Mel. You git. Couldn't be bothered to prepare for the guys. Wrong. It's wrong of you. Started off quite well, didn't we, Carl? You know, we had Mkhitaryan and Hector linking up down the right-hand side. First 10 minutes, we looked as if we came to play. I know the game didn't have, it wasn't very intense, but we looked all right. What were your thoughts on the start of the game?
I was impressed by our passing. I know Arsenal are tend to be a passing team, but as of late, we haven't been doing a teamwork thing very, very well. But I thought today, it's not very often we say this, but our centre midfielders were holding on to the ball when releasing it when they needed to, holding on and making bursts through the centre of midfield. And I thought we'd done well. I thought we took the game to Manchester United, which is sort of not something that we expected with this team. And when it comes to defending, I thought we defended well within the first 10 minutes. Everything that Mavropanos needed to deal with, he did. So I thought that was very, very good. And even Chambers as well. Every time Chambers got the ball, he didn't put a foot wrong. If he needed to clear it into touch, they did. You know, sometimes Arsenal have a tendency to overplay. But today, well, within the first 10 minutes, we didn't. We just got the ball. And if we needed to clear it into touch, we did. We just literally booted it. There were so many times where even Hector, I see Hector get the ball and just put it into touch, which, you know, I know it's not the quote-unquote Arsenal way, but sometimes you just need to do that. And it was good to see our midfield linking up with our defence, and Aubameyang was sort of dragging defenders here, there and everywhere, which was good as well, making space for the rest of the team.
Yeah, yeah, it was really nice to see. Unfortunately, the good start, we were put back on our heels by the Pogba goal. Josh, I want you to talk us through the Pogba goal. Go.
Yeah, shall I start with the foul on Reece Nelson that should have been given and the whole thing would never have happened?
Yeah, you can actually, because I initially thought that that was a bit of a dive, but from a different angle, you can see it was a foul.
Yeah, he's taken out from behind. He's just had a cheeky little clip on the back of his heel and he's gone over and I don't know, you can go through conspiracies. I know certain people would love to go on about a massive conspiracy for Kevin Friend and against Arsenal. But, you know, it's one of those things, doesn't get given. And eventually, you know, they just can't stop pushing at us. The break happens. Xhaka comes in from, he'd been drawn out wide anyway because of the Nelson positioning. And commits very, very early to Pogba, who just slides past him. Plays the ball out wide. I can't think who puts the ball in now. Was it Jesse Lingard? Who plays it over to the back post where Hector Bellerin has lost Alexis Sanchez at the back post, who manages to head it directly against the post. And Pogba's there first to just put it past into almost an empty net there because everybody is all over the place at that point. Xhaka, I think, has come in with the most criticism, especially from a certain Graham Souness. For his part in everything from his slide tackle to not fully tracking Pogba into the box and keeping it there to ensure that he's, you know, not going to get in there. But otherwise, it was a pretty calamitous goal from an early point of the game that I think, you know, it was looking to be quite a tight game anyway.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't see how Xhaka can be defended on, you know, it was a weak ass slide to begin with. You know, he's not, it was stupid of him to go to ground in the first place outside the box. And then to stop, just to stop and not to follow Pogba it was pathetic. And I think Xhaka has played well after that. The first half wasn't his best. Second half, he stood up and was counted a bit more. But that was not good. And I can't say you can defend him on it. Carl, your view on that, mate. Your view. Let me know what you think about it.
Yeah, it was a foul. I'm not going to go back over the whole goal, but the Xhaka thing, it bothers me a little bit because he's been making his mistakes the whole season. Now, if the coaching staff can't see that he's making his mistakes whole season and it's costing us goals. It's not the first goal it's cost us, not the second, it's not even the third. And hopefully it will be the last, but it probably won't be the last. And it's getting frustrating now. You know, as a midfielder, your job is to go forward and go backwards. Even if you're an attacking midfielder, you have to learn the art of defending. And for me, he just gives up. He goes to ground and he gets up and he just watches Pogba walk into our penalty box and doesn't chuck him at all. And Pogba's in the box free. And that bothers me a little bit. It does, because he needs to wisen up. Whole season he's making these mistakes and he's not, oh, look who it is. Hashtag fuck you, Ellis. Anyway, as I was saying, you know, he wanders into the box and he leaves Pogba just totally free. And it bothers me because he just stops. He literally stands still. Pogba's always on the move. You know, the ball comes back in from Sanchez and Pogba's moving and literally Xhaka is standing still, fixing his shin pads. You're a midfielder. You've got to see the danger around you. You know, as good as he is, and his passing for me was very, very good today, and he was hassling opponents. That is really, really bad. For the captain as well, he was the captain of the day. And, you know, it's almost like no one sort of turns around and says, what are you doing? No one says you've got to pick up your man. And he should be the one sort of seeing the danger, and he doesn't.
Yeah, The bit of it is, you know, if I'm going to have a pop at Jack Wilshere for similar things, I'm sure as hell going to have a pop at Xhaka for that crap. You know, he needs to be more aware in that situation, and he let himself down there. And the annoyances with a lot of our players, we've had a pop, but it will be Jack, you know, I know Xhaka on these things. It's because they're better players than that. It's because they can do better. They are better than what they've produced in the pitch today.
It's not about expecting more. It's about we know they've got the ability to give more.
Yeah.
And when you see that, it's frustrating because you know he's better than that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, I like Xhaka. I like all of the players. But for crying out loud, you know, you've got to make more of an effort to that. Now, listeners, whoever's in the chat box, I want you to say it all with one voice. Fuck Ellis. Welcome, Ellis Mel.
Hello.
Ellis, say hello.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Hey! Sorry about that, technical issues.
You arse. You couldn't even prepare to be ready to come on straight away.
I was prepared. I didn't realise that my thing was blocked.
Ellis, you're on a warning, son. You're on a warning, okay? You're on a warning.
I'm very sorry.
Thank you. As for that, right. So after the Pogba goal, El, we started to play a bit of football again, didn't we? You know, we didn't let it get us down. We started having a go. You had Mkhitaryan effort. We looked straight to come back into the game. Unfortunately then, Xhaka picked up a yellow for a stupid foul on what's the fucktard's name? Jesse Lingard, that's it. I mean, Lingard's overkicked the ball and Xhaka's going to pull him back when he has no need to. What were your thoughts on that?
It's just silly. Without trying to like lambast him too much, I think really I'm not sure how much you've said before, but we sort of knew this game was going to be thrown away, but you just want people to switch on and concentrate, and it's something that is key for this Arsenal team, is players to switch off. sometimes don't concentrate, do make the wrong decisions. And Xhaka, just like every other member of the team, is that they're liable to making those sort of mistakes. And it is frustrating, but what are you going to do? For me, the game, I wasn't too worried about it. I don't know how much you said again because I missed the start of the show. But I was just more interested in seeing the young guys and seeing how they played. We know people like Xhaka, we know people like the our defence can make mistakes, but I was more interested to see what the young guys were going to do. And it is frustrating, but at the end of the day, I wasn't too pissed off with it.
Ooh. On bloody mute again. Sorry, I'm up to something at the moment. I do apologise. Danny, if you're in the chat box, I've just sent you a message. Please tell me if I'm allowed to send that reply, please, mate. Sorry, listeners, somebody's been a snidey cunt and I want my pound of flesh.
Doesn't eat flesh.
Sorry, I do apologise. Apologies for the language. Yeah, I'm going to come to you then, Josh, on that yellow card. Because, you know, okay, we all make rash decisions now and again, but he must have seen the kick, the overhit from Lindgaard.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm being harsh?
A little bit, because anyone that puts a terrible tackle in on Jesse Lingard deserves praise in my books. To be honest, yeah, a number of players now are getting sold by that, and it's becoming one of those things that are either players mentally slower than they used to be, or, you know, are these kind of things getting picked up on more? It wasn't too much different, you know, to go back to it. The trip on Nelson, you know, they're both fouls at the end of the day. And
yeah,
it just kind of got on my nerves, to be honest, that we're ending up with little things like this. And, you know, Xhaka didn't necessarily help himself in that first half with that foul or tackle, I should say. But otherwise, it wasn't something I was too nervous about. I think I said on the last radio show that Xhaka's disciplinary record is a lot better than it was last season. And I was a lot less worried about him being on a yellow than I would have been last season, because he seems to be a lot calmer this season, a lot more... So it has a lot, goes into a challenge when he knows he's more likely to win it rather than going in for 50-50s and 40-60s with pure aggression that he was last season. But otherwise, it's just come into that now.
I think he's had an up and down season. I think he's been a lot better recently, to be fair to him. But that's fair enough. Right, lads, I'm going to come to Carl first, but I want everybody's opinion on this. We have two penalty shouts. First of all, Mkhitaryan, is he blocked off or does he run into Smalling? And Maitland-Niles, well, Sanchez, I'm sorry, I don't understand how we haven't claimed more for this, because to me, it's a clear penalty. He's been taken from behind. Sanchez hasn't won the ball. But, you know, Kevin Friend waves it away. Carl, your thoughts?
The first one, no, not a penalty. I think we tend to get bugged down in every little challenge in the box. And as much as I look at it as Man United, if that was in our box, would I think the same? And I would be angry if it was given. So the Mkhitaryan one, no. And the Maitland-Niles one, I was very 50-50 on it. And I probably still am, because I saw the challenge. And the first, you know, when you first see it in your head, the first thing you think is, oh, penalty, because it's Arsenal and I want the penalty. But I saw the replay and I was like, is it? And I think it's very hard for the sort of referee to make a judgment that quickly, especially in a high sort of pressured game. And, you know, as much as the game was played at a slow pace today, it's still a hostile environment. Arsenal, Man United at Old Trafford, no matter what. But I'm still 50-50, I'll be honest with you. I can't make a decision to say whether I think it was or not. And I'm trying to take my Arsenal hat off and put on my football hat. So I'm going to say, if I had to pick yes or no, of course I'm going to pick yes, because I'm an Arsenal fan, but I'm still 50-50. I'm on the fence.
Okay, fine. Ellis, your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, very much the same with Carl. I think we can be a bit biased, and in the heat of the moment, yeah, when I watched it, I did shout penalty. But then when you sort of look at the replay, you can see it's gone sort of, it can go either way. And yeah, again, the same with Carl, 50-50. Like, it's not an easy job being a referee, and I think we can be a bit harsh on them sometimes. So I could have sent it given. I could have done, but I can also see why it wasn't given. Like, I think being a bit hypercritical if we criticised the referee too much on that chance or that shout for a penalty anyway.
I understand the Mkhitaryan one not being given, I really do, but I felt the Maitland-Niles one stone cold. I really did. I mean, I know it happens quickly, and yes, referees do make mistakes, you know, that's the way of the world, but Josh, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought, as everyone else is saying, I think the Maitland-Niles one, Alexis doesn't get the ball, so it's a penalty, right? And I don't think it's that black and white.
But this is the thing. If you don't win the ball, it's a penalty, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think a foul gets more black and white than that, right? Don't win the ball, exactly. It's a free kick or it's a penalty. So it doesn't matter where it is in the box or where it is in the pitch. You don't win the ball and you take a man out. Free kick. So yeah.
But there you go. Didn't get them. Game moves on. Ellis, Aubameyang had a chance. We didn't really test a gay first half, and I felt we were attacking at this point with little conviction. You know, we weren't really going for the throat. We were playing some nice football. We were having a go. We certainly weren't being rolled over by them, but we didn't really get in and go for the throat. What was your view on it?
Yeah, I thought he probably could have done better, but like you say, we weren't really going for it, like not going for the throat. And it was just, I think you can be let off a go again when it's like sort of your first chance, or if you're not really getting much of the ball, it's always going to be hard. You're always going to sort of snatch at chances a bit more when you're not having the regular opportunities to score. And I think he did that on that chance. We certainly, after we conceded the goal, we certainly upped our game a bit. But again, first half, we didn't really have the cutting edge at all. And it was sort of, I thought it was going to be one of those long days. United, again, this season, they've been quite solid defensively, but they've been so boring to watch. And they just seemed to get that goal and sort of sit back a bit in the first half and just thought, well, they're not really going to do much. But I think after we had that chance and we moved into the second half, things started to change. And obviously we'll probably go on to it a bit more when we talk about Mickey's goal. But yeah, I think Albert, he could have done a bit better there. But again, when you're not having that many chances, you're always going to be sort of a bit rushed and a bit rash when you come to taking them when you get your first one.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It does happen. Carl, your thoughts on attacking play at that point? Because, you know, again, I want to go... Sorry, hangover talk again. I do apologise. I really want to look at the way we were playing, because I thought we were playing some really good football, but very little end product. We weren't quite attacking the ball as we should. How did you see it, Matt?
Like I said, I think going forward, our passing was very, very good. I thought we played some brilliant triangles. You know, we had Xhaka spraying the ball about. You know, there was a time when I think he sprayed it to the left, he got the ball back, and then he sprayed it to the right. It was, you know, what he, and I looked up and thought, bloody hell, he can pass the ball, can't he? And I thought he was very, very good. He was composed. I thought going forward, we just lacked that end product. You know, it was very hard, I think, for Aubameyang today, because I think he had two big centre-backs on him, and I think he just couldn't quite get into the game. But sort of our midfield and going forward was good, but we just lacked that. It was almost a game that was always made for Lacazette today. You know, as much as, you know, he's come back and he's done well, you thought that he would have got a chance and you needed someone just to run at the defence and maybe just shoot. And he had a few snapshots, but he weren't good enough. But I thought our attacking, I was really impressed with our passing today. I don't know why it stood out for me today, because it's not very often that Arsenal sort of are known for good passing. I mean, we give the ball away sometimes, but that's, you know, it happens in games. But I thought today passing was very, very well. It was almost made for Ozil. You know, if Ozil was in this team, he was always thinking to yourself, one of those passes were made for him just to hit a brilliant ball, and it may have gone in off a finish of Aubameyang. So I thought today we was going forward, and obviously in the second half we managed to capitalise on one of our good passing moves.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we had the Nelson headage before half time, but my notes at the end of the first half, and Josh, I want you to sort of your view on this. Frustrating first half, chances, some good interplay, but very little decent end product. How would you sum it up?
I would sum up the first half of that game, like probably with all of the atmosphere and intensity of a testimonial, that it wasn't a great first half for me. It could have been a pre-season friendly. Man United really didn't want to go out of first or second gear, to be honest, for most of that game. I haven't watched a lot of them across this season, so I can't say if it's like that every game and that is them at top gear. But for me, it seemed they were holding something back and just sitting back and letting Arsenal control possession. And again, we weren't really going for the jugular because of the counter-attacking qualities of that United side. So we just kind of cancelled each other out. It's also a case that our away form, no one has got to the bottom of what has caused our away form for this season. But I think it's just a case of, yeah, there was just a complete lack of intensity that we've seen across all of our away games this season. And it was just not a great first half for me. I think the second half, to be honest, even that didn't really pick up. You know, sometimes friendlies pick up in the second half when, you know, some manager has a go and says, come on, guys, you know, I want to see more from you, and the players react. But overall, to be honest, it seemed like a really, really lethargic game in general. And I can see why, if Man United turn up most weeks, that most of their fans are bored with Jose Mourinho, because it was not good to watch from it, from my perspective.
Well, we have to wait and see how he gets on, isn't it? Ellis, second half kicked off and we saw the young Greek lad, Mr. Mavropanos, just go in and ended Lukaku's game. He went in on him, didn't he?
Yeah, he's certainly got a nasty streak in him, though. I thought, along with all the other sort of young lads at the start of the day, I thought he had a good game. I was very impressed for him. I didn't think he put much of a foot wrong. I didn't make many mistakes. He didn't have a massive amount to do and didn't really have any sort of shocking performances or any bad decisions there. But he just sort of he got on with it. And yeah, it was a hefty challenge on Romelu Lukaku. And not that I care, but he had obviously had to go off injured, bless him. But yeah, I was quite impressed with Mavropanos, can't say his name's performance. But is that the first time we've seen him for Arsenal in the first team at all?
Yeah.
So that is, I don't know if you mentioned it earlier, but that's a hell of a first game for your Arsenal career to give up at Old Trafford, regardless of everyone sort of knows this match was going to be thrown away. We have more important things coming up on Thursday. But still, for a young kid to come in and make his debut against Man United, I thought he did really well.
Yeah, I thought he had a bang decent game. I enjoyed his performance. I thought him and Chambers were solid citizens today. I think the midfield wasn't quite at the races on protecting the back four, but, you know, again, some makeshift midfield as well. So you've got to cut them a bit of slack. But after Lukaku goes off, Carl, Mkhitaryan, what a cracking goal. Talk me through it.
Absolutely brilliant. Do you know what? I think me, as well as every single other person, was willing him to shoot. I think we must have all collectively shouted shoot exactly at the same time. I think I can't remember, is it? So Xhaka had the ball, he pumps it forward, he gets headed out. And I think it was, I can't remember, the Man United player who was running forward, maybe in Ashley Young? Can't remember. So
Ashley Young diving scum.
I can't remember who it was, but Xhaka wins the ball back and plays the ball to Mkhitaryan, and Mkhitaryan's left with so much space that he's just got a load of space. And I think when he gets the ball, I think Aubameyang was free as well. And even I looked at Aubameyang and I thought, is he going to pass to Aubameyang? But no, Aubameyang was very clever, and he takes out probably about three players with his movement, because he moves sort of to the left and he takes out three people. So that's why Mkhitaryan has so much space, and Mkhitaryan just shoots into the bottom left-hand corner, as good as De Gea is, and let's face it, he is probably top two goalkeepers in the world, he was never going to save that shot. And he was just written now from Mkhitaryan. Man United fans slated him, hated him, because they didn't think it was good enough to come and, you know, equalise. And I think it was a great feeling that, because one, it was a good team move. You know, Xhaka, you know, for all the bad things we say that he's done, you've got to give him credit for hassling the Man United player and getting the ball back, for seeing Mkhitaryan in that space to pass to him, and then Mkhitaryan to finish. You know, what more could you want from a good team goal?
Nah, it was superb, isn't it? I really enjoyed that. Josh, you're viewing it.
Yeah, as Carl says, a really good, decent bit of team play from our forward players on the front foot there, really. Personally, I thought David De Gea should have got to that. He's not a world-class goalkeeper for me, but yeah, he really should have got down to that goal. But I'm happy to take it, because I think Mkhitaryan has done really well to put that into the bottom corner, to put it through, I think it's Lindelof's legs, to put it in there. Yeah, I think good goal. And at that point, I think it was something we deserved as well, because United hadn't really kicked on from their goal, and we looked to still be creating a lot of chances, but not necessarily being able to finish them, or at least get anyone on the end of them. But yeah, I thought really deserved goal at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you just tell me De Gea is not?
I know. I heard that comment as well, Jason, and I just shook my head.
He's not a world-class goalkeeper. He's not. He's got too many faults. He's got too many faults. Watch him try and go for a cross. Jose Mourinho has built a team that means that David De Gea doesn't have to come for crosses. Put one in for him. Okay. And
Josh, you got a full hipster now, aren't you?
He's not world-class.
I'm sorry, Keira, but you've just gone full Chris Carpenter.
Sorry.
You've gone full Chris Carpenter. I talking the dirty pirate. He's in London this weekend. Have a nice time. Good for him.
Yeah, Carl's been fucking up the trains for him, especially.
Exactly. Man, Carl.
Top man, Carl. Top man. Ellis, your view on that goal, because I've just got to get over what I just heard from Josh here. I'm in a state of shock.
Yeah, I thought it was a really well taken goal. I think Xhaka did well in the sort of build up to win the ball and then sort of draw a player in and lay it off to Mkhitaryan. And when he received it, you could see sort of Aubameyang in space there, and obviously the United defenders saw it as well, and they sort of were dragged towards him. But at the time, I was sort of going, go on, pass to him, thinking he was going to pass. But then he just slots it away, and it was a brilliant taken goal. And I think we've really missed Mkhitaryan. I think we could have used him in the first league against Atletico. He gives players like Ozil more space and Lacazette and other attacking players more space, because he's just good enough. He's one of those players that people will try and mark, and they can't mark all of them. You can't mark Lacazette, Mkhitaryan, Ozil all out of the game. So it'll be good to have him back for Atletico. And yeah, just it's quality. It's good to see as well. Like, I was sort of dreading when the teams were announced that Sanchez might score a goal against us, and obviously was heavily involved in the first one. And then for Mkhitaryan, who's obviously involved in the other way, to score against him was quite good, and I was feeling quite happy at that point. But yeah, it was a well-taken goal.
Yeah, did well. Okay, couple of shout-outs. Nude Gunner, Simon A, The McManus, Daniel Cronin, Neil Vergela, Rudy Rastloss. They're all there. They're all there. Peter Petal, I think you may be in the wrong. I think you might be in the wrong video, mate. I think this may not be the podcast for you. So let me help you on this. I'll put you in a bit of a timeout. Have a think about it, mate. We're all about the Arsenal. I don't care. Arsenal Gunner in Case is there. Unique 79 is there. Oh, God help us all. Save Europe, people. Save Europe. C27549 is there. So, yeah, we're all here, guys. We got 160 watching. Oh, Domnus is there. I've only got 34 likes. Come on. Get on with it. Get on with it. Anthony 10, I don't know what he said, but he was talking nonsense. And you lot are far too good for that. Can we have some likes, please? That would be appreciated. I've lost what I was thinking there. Well, we don't have to get some numpties coming up in here, do we? You know, I mean, I'm not being funny. What does he want to talk about his families when we're talking about the Arsenal? I'm really not on that. Oh, it was anti-Muslim stuff, is it? Oh, Peter Petrel, you can go fuck yourself, you racist bastard. Stay out of my chat box, you twat. Right, so then we have some substitutions. Kolasinac goes off injured, Carl. Welbs comes on for Nelson. What did you think of Nelson's performance?
He made some good passes today. I think I've been critical of Nelson when I've seen him play because I thought he sort of held onto the ball too long in the games that I've seen him. But today, I thought he passed the ball well. His attacking was very, very good. He got forward well. He made some good key passes, I thought, and he got back as well. So you could tell you started to tire, though, because the runs that he was making in the first half, he sort of didn't do that towards the second half or just before he got subbed off. He was definitely tiring. The subs, for me, I was a bit, not miffed, but I thought Mkhitaryan would come off because I thought he definitely would be sort of rested for Thursday. But I guess he hasn't played for 4 weeks, I want to say. So maybe just needed game time. And, you know, when you haven't played for 4 weeks, you've had sort of a long rest. And so for me, it's a bit of a shock him coming off, and Danny Welbeck coming on kind of made sense for me, definitely, because he tends to always pop up against Manchester United. So it would have been written in the stars for Mkhitaryan and also Welbeck to come in and sort of score a goal, which kind of everyone wanted, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It'd be nice for Welbeck to grab one, but you know, there you go. Mavropanos, Ellis, again, and he made a great defensive header. For his debut at Old Trafford, you know, he's had a really good day. What do you think? And obviously, we don't want to hype him up too much. It's a debut. It's a bit of a strange game. But I want to go in a bit more detail. He seemed really good in the air. His passing seemed really decent. What were your thoughts on him?
Yeah, again, much of what I said about him in the first half, he continued in the second half. He played really well. For me, obviously, the first time seeing him play, I've had a lot of whispers on Twitter and throughout some of the people I know who I talked to on WhatsApp about he's been doing quite well in the youth team. So I was looking forward to see if the hype was true.
Sorry, mate. Do you mind if I just cut in here?
Okay.
No, here we are. There's a guy called Roy Keane in the chat box, okay? Do you really have that little life that you have to come in here just to troll us? Do you really? Is that all you've got on your life, that you can come in here and troll us? Why don't you just go, leave the room, and go fuck yourself? Take care. Goodbye. Sorry, carry on, mate.
Where was I? I don't know. Mavropanos, yeah. For me, I was interested to see how he's done, because I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter and from people I know in WhatsApp have said he's done quite well for the youth team this season. He's obviously Michelin's at signing, so it would be good to see if he can sort of replicate what he did with Dortmund and bringing young youth players through and getting them into the first team. So yeah, again, I don't personally want to sort of hype him up too much. We've had it before. We've had it when Chambers first broke into the team. Everyone was calling the second coming of like Adams and stuff like that, and it didn't happen for him. And it's harsh to compare young players to greats like that. I don't want to do the same to this guy, but I thought, like you said, for a debut at Old Trafford, he done really well. I was impressed with all the young guys, not just Mavropanos. I think Nelson did well as well. And for me, Ainsley Maitland-Niles was one of the best players on the pitch. So the guys stood up today, and that's all you can really ask from the youth team, from the youth guys when they come through, is to sort of make a name for themselves. I don't think any of them are really going to kick any of the starting 11 out of the team for Atletico, but if they keep playing like that, then they'll certainly be knocking on whoever the new manager's door is going to be to get in starting place if they continue to play in the sort of form that they have been.
Yeah, it'd be good to see, won't it? Josh, the Raft, Welbeck had an effort, a turn and shot, a bit unlucky, didn't get more curve in it. Did Danny impress you when he came on?
Yeah, I think for what we needed to do at that point, I think at some point we reverted back to a 4-4-2 in certain situations with him and Aubameyang up top. And I think overall it definitely pushed United back because of the issues he was then starting to cause Valencia, who was coming into the game. He was just kind of pushing him back. further and further and helping Monreal out as well, which I think really, really helped him out in general. A bit strange to say for Carl was saying that it didn't come on for Mkhitaryan, but the fact that Mkhitaryan's got 90 minutes in his legs will stand us in good stead for midweek, where I think he can come in for that. But yeah, Danny put in one of those average games that he has where you know what you're going to get from him. It's a bit like we say about Elneny. He's going to give you a 6.5, 7 out of 10 almost every game. And I think he just came in and just did his job and was very reliable from that point of view. But yeah, arguably he should have done a little bit better. And it would have been nice for United to have conceded two goals to ex-players.
It would have been it. Carl, the Rashford goal that's ruled offside, was your heart in your mouth at that point? Carl, you on mute?
Oh dear.
Sorry, I pulled it, Ellis.
I haven't been on mute, I just didn't turn up.
As the ball went in off Rashford, I did shout, "That's offside!" And the longer it went on, the linesman tended not to put his flag up. And I was like, "That's offside!" And then finally, it registered that it was offside. I mean, when the ball went in, I thought, "Oh, come on, close it down. And I know we'll get onto it, but it's almost like a carbon copy of the winner. But I was sort of pointing out Ospina as well, because I was thinking to myself, Ospina, come on for that. Or the defenders, like, it's just, it was almost a prelude to what was going to happen, unfortunately. And it was horrible. But I did think the Rashford goal was offside straight away. Because it took a double bounce in there, because it went off the post and then come back to Rashford. And as soon as it hit that first come out, I thought Rashford was offside. So I was pissed off. I thought, oh, thank God. And I thought, come on, that's the impetus to go and get the winner. Unfortunately, you know what happened.
Yeah, we do, unfortunately. Josh, the Fellaini goal, go on.
God's sake, massive Belgian twat.
I got to be honest, though, I hate that shitbag. I absolutely despise him.
It was coming, wasn't it? You could kind of tell that Mourinho had kind of given up trying to break us down and went, oh, okay, I'll have to go and stick a big man on and we're just going to lump it into the box. It's been happening for a while with that aerial assault. I think Fellaini had finally worked out who he needed to stand around in order to get a little bit of space. And it was that ball into the back post from Ashley Young. I think it was unfortunate that Iwobi was suffering from cramps, so potentially couldn't get close enough to Ashley Young to stop that ball going in. Now, I'm sure, Jace, you'll jump in and say, Iwobi never closes his man down anyway, irrespective of how many legs he's got and if they're working.
Hold up. I've been nice about Iwobi recently. I think Iwobi's done okay the last couple of games. Today, I wasn't very impressed with him. He looked lost at times. But, you know, I think I'd give a fair opinion on Iwobi, to be fair, pal.
Yeah, I think when that ball comes in anyway, it then turns into Fellaini surrounded by Chambers, Mavropanos and Xhaka. Xhaka's the only one that even gets up high enough to try and challenge Fellaini to that. And he puts it into the top corner. Now, whether or not a goalkeeper who is normally sized for a modern day goalkeeper, should we say, something plus 6 foot, potentially could get there. I'd also look at the two centre-backs, how they don't put enough pressure on Fellaini to allow him to, you know, almost have a free header at that. I know he does tend to go up with his elbows, but you could always dig in something with him. In the middle of the box, in a situation like that, you can always get away with a little bit of dark arts and get away with it. So a little bit, you know, there's a bit of naiveness perhaps from the two young centre-backs in there. But yeah, he's got the header just like he did earlier for the Rashford offside goal. And it's into the top corner, and I don't think it was deserved from an overall performance. I think a draw would have been a fair overall result for the game, but you know, those things happen to us, and it's another loss on the road.
That hurts. It hurt. It really did. I think, like Josh said, you know, the performance didn't match the result. Most definitely not. I thought the game probably deserved a draw. You know, I'm not going to go out and say that we deserve to win because, you know, we didn't do enough to win the game, but that it didn't deserve a loss. That really, really hurt. You know, especially the timing of the goal, because it was almost the last kick of the game and you're thinking to yourself, you know, oh, we've gone to Man United with 8 first-team players missing and we're going to get a draw. You know, I'm sure everyone was delighted for that. Before the game kicked off, I bet everyone would have probably taken a 1-0 loss, you know, regardless of even a draw. And for that to happen at that time, it does hurt. And I do think that a better goalkeeper saves that. De Gea saves that, definitely. Oblak saves that. I do think that, you know, possibly even Cech saves that. You know, I'm not Cech's biggest fan in the world, but the goalkeeper has to do better than that. I'm sorry. Like, he has to. A better goalkeeper or even a taller goalkeeper saves that. I think he does. And like Josh said, you know, it's the Mourinho tactics, lump it up to the big man. We all flipping hate those tactics, but unfortunately today it worked and it's horrible.
It is funny though, I think, like when a team spent so much like Man United have, and it's going to sound like sour grapes, and it probably is, but I don't care. The fact that they resort so much to just lumping the ball up to Fellaini and bringing him on to score a goal that way. I know at the end it doesn't matter. They've got 3 points. They're not going to give a shit how it actually came. And it'd be exactly the same if we did it the other way. But it just makes me laugh. Like, that's what they have to resort to against a team that hasn't won on the road. They've just gone to like, yeah, we'll just whip it in and lob it into the box for Fellaini to knock him.
Yeah, you have to ask yourself, you know, if all, you know, Mourinho is meant to be this master tactician and he couldn't break down a team. He wasn't won on the road, like Eddie's just said, never won on the road this season. You know, 8 missing first team players, you know, got our youth team out, our centre back who made his debut, and you have to resort to those sort of tactics. You know, like Eddie said, it's going to sound like Zagreb, and it does. It kind of probably is, you know. You spent all this money and you have to resort to lumping it up to some giant to try and head it in to break us down. And it hurts. That's why it hurts, because you have to resort to those tactics to beat us.
Just a Rich Stokes.
Yep. George Kyle, by the way, you're one deluded prick. Honest to God. What's the matter with people? Do you know what? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, look at your own house. You know, get your own house in order before having a go at the clubs. It's just nonsense. Right. Okay, so that was the game. You know, we lose to that late goal. Very disappointing based upon what I thought was a decent performance from, you know, a very clearly a second string side. I want to go through a few of the players now today, guys. And I'll start with you, Josh. Maitland-Niles, what do you think of his performance?
I thought he had a very good performance against a team that didn't really challenge in that midfield as aggressively. Didn't really put it under pressure, shall we say. This was one of the things that I was going to, you know, when I mentioned that the game had that kind of testimonial pre-season friendly vibe about it. The games where he struggled in midfield was where he got pressed heavily. But I'm not going to take away that performance from the guy, because this could be the turning point for him. You know, a decent performance against the team that, according to the table, is second best in the league. I can't start saying he didn't have a good game, but there are some caveats I'd like to add to that. And the pace and overall tempo of that game, I think, allowed him to have a better performance. The same with Reece Nelson as well. You know, we've seen these guys struggle against Notts Forest and struggled against Newcastle. Now, there's got to be something about this Man United game who, you know, Man United are better than those two teams that we've seen them struggle against. So I'd have to see him in further games, but it is promising that, because I haven't seen him perform in the middle for Arsenal at all outside of youth level.
He can only play what's in front of you, and he's done well today, to be fair. He's a little too lackadaisical for my liking, but that's in his nature. His confidence is superb. His confidence, I just love. I adore it with him. But, you know, he's done okay today, hasn't he? And that's, I think that's what I can say. Ellis, Nelson, your thoughts on Nelson, mate? And don't go on the Battle of Trafalgar, whatever you do. I will shoot you.
Yeah, I thought he had a good game. I, out of the youngsters there, I don't think he really stood out as much as Ainsley Maitland-Niles did for me, but I thought he did have a good game. He played some good passes. His movement was quite good. And again, it's strange. Like Josh said, he's another one of these players who has struggled against Nottingham Forest, who has struggled against other lower league teams that you'd think he should do better, but he's put in a good performance against United. Now, I don't know if that's just because he's more motivated or if the team are just a bit more up for it or whatever numerous factors were involved. But for today, I think he performed well. And he's another player. He's another one who's had a bit of his name for himself in the youth team. He scored a lot of goals for the youth team this season, which keep cropping up on YouTube and Twitter. And they look like good ones. So there's obviously a player in there somewhere. Whether he can be a player for Arsenal, we'll have to wait and see. Whether he needs like a loan or something, or if he can get some more minutes under his belt for the first team, we'll have to wait and see. It depends on what happens in the Europa League, if we win that or if we're still in Europa League next season. I imagine if we are, then he'll get some more minutes via that in the League Cup. If we do win it and we end up in the Champions League next season, then I doubt we'll see him in the Champions League games, except from in the group stages when you get to the end, if you've already sort of won the group sort of for the dead rubbers. But no, I like the look of him today, and he did well along with the other youngsters. So hopefully he can sort of build on this, take a lot from it. Like, it is United at Old Trafford, use that as a confidence, and he's going to get more up, more chances and more minutes for the rest of the season, because obviously I say that depending on how we do against Atletico. If we do, then he might get a bit more minutes in the Premier League. So hopefully he can build on today's game.
Yeah, hopefully so. Carl Mkhitaryan.
I thought his performance was very well. I went on mute. I thought his performance was...
It's like a kid being told off.
I know. You know what? This is why I love doing this show, okay? You know? It's so much fun. We have a brilliant chat box, and it's a lot of fun. Nice.
I thought his performance was very good today. You know, when you tend to go back to your old club, you always want to sort of... It's like seeing an ex-girlfriend. Like, if you know you're going to see her, you're going to make sure you wear your best clothes, you're going to make sure your hair's cut, you're going to make sure everything's all done, just to see what they missed out on. And I thought today, he done that. You know, what more could you ask for? You know, he scored a goal. He was up and down the pitch. So today, I thought he did do well. He's better than, I think, Sanchez done, to be honest. I guess we have to sort of mention him. For someone who was playing against the old club, he didn't play particularly brilliantly, Sanchez. And I thought Mkhitaryan was better than Sanchez. So, you know, for someone who's just come back from injury as well, to come into that high-profile game, you know, hostile environment, back to your old club, he done well. He done very well, you know. And we did take him off because he came off for Willock, didn't he? So
yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, I don't know if he's going to start on Thursday. I have no idea. It's going to be between him and Welbeck, isn't it?
He's starting, mate. He's starting all day long.
So that means Welbeck's not going to start. So, you know, for that, hopefully he will sort of provide that Mickey magic, because that's what we kind of need. On Thursday, we are going to need something special. But today, on today's performance, I thought he'd done very well.
Yeah, I agree with you. Josh, Aubameyang.
Ooh, fairly quiet day in regards to in front of goal, but I think the runs that he made and occupying that back four of United was absolutely superb. You know, most strikers, when you look at the number of touches they have in a game, it's not that many. I remember the game before he left us at Borussia Dortmund, he was on for 90 minutes and got 12 touches, but scored a goal in that. So, you know, I think overall, he's always going to get his spot in these games at the moment till the end of the season, with the way we're going through Europa League and the fact he's cup tied. But yeah, he had a very mediocre, I think, average game. I wouldn't say he did anything incredible, but he didn't do anything bad either. For my liking.
Did we not... were we not effective in getting him involved in the game, though? With the midfield, etc., did we... You know, should we have played a few more first-time balls over the top? Or was it just...
But I think Mourinho knew that because we saw how deep United were defending. I don't think they really contained us in that respect. But in terms of knowing that Bamiyang, Mkhitaryan, Maitland-Niles, Bellerin, there's a lot of pace in that team. And Mourinho just knew that his team knows how to, you know, he can set up a team which will just sit and camp outside the 18-yard box, knowing full well we're not effective when we put the ball high into the box. So that from that point of view, I think we just didn't play to necessarily our strengths, or what we had to do was maybe just get rid of possession, give United possession and go from there to allow them to move up the pitch, and then we can knock it back over.
Okay, that's fair enough. Nude Goon has just put in the box. This is brilliant. Whenever I see Josh's handle, and Josh's handle is BN Joshed, that's all I see is Banjo Shed. I think that's great. Oh, I love this chat box. It's brilliant. Ellis, Chris Willock. It's not Chris, is it? It's
Joe Willock, you mean?
Thank you.
All right. We didn't really get much of a look in from him, really. Obviously, he came on for... Who did he come on for? Was it Welbeck or... No, Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, Mkhitaryan.
So, yeah, from what I did see of him, I thought he was all right. But other than the other guys that we sort of got a lot of minutes out of, I didn't really get to see much of him. But, hey, I think he did all right, considering he didn't really put too much wrong, but then he didn't really have... too much to do, if that makes sense.
He put in a couple of big tackles, didn't he?
I like that. I think it might be a bit of youthful exuberance that he's on Old Trafford and he just wants to fucking put his foot in and get involved. But other than that, I can't really criticise him or praise him too much from what I saw, because there wasn't really much there.
Well, he's been bullied in previous games, hasn't he? I think when you look at the three main youth guys that have kind of broken in this season, he is the most lightweight of them. So seeing him go in with a clash of Matic, again, it could be that turning point, as with Maitland-Niles, with him having a decent game in midfield. Perhaps that's the start of something. Perhaps that's the same thing with Joe Willock as well.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, I'd like to think so anyway.
Let's wait and see. Hopefully he does it. Carl, Iwobi. What do you think of Iwobi today, mate?
Do you know what? There was a time when I genuinely forgot he was playing. It was in, I think, in the second half, someone said his name and I was like, oh, fuck me, he's actually on the pitch. So that goes to show everything, I think, about Iwobi. But, you know, there was a ball over the top and he stretched for it and then his hamstring went, I think. So after that, he kind of faded out. So he wasn't brilliant. He wasn't bad. You know, he was a solid 6 out of 10 for me. He didn't do loads wrong. He didn't do loads right. I forgot he was playing because that's how innocuous he was in the game. I just didn't really see him providing anything. So he gets a 6 out of 10 for me. And there's not much else I can say because I didn't think he really did much in the game.
He polarizes opinion, doesn't he? Because I thought he did look lost at times, but then when he got ball to feet, he looked effective. There are a couple of good crosses in there. I think he's struggling for a little bit of consistency and getting into the game and being effective. And you know, you can see glimpses of him doing it. We just hope now the season's nearly over. We need to kick on next season and really get involved more. Hopefully under a new manager, he gets a bit more direction, maybe. Maybe that's the issue. I'm just going to mention Mavropanos and Chambers. We've lost today. Let's not make no bones about it. It's 2-1. But I just felt Mavropanos and Chambers did really well. Chambers, I thought, positionally and leading the line was very good. I thought Mavropanos used his pace. Real competitor who's going to grow. Hopefully, if we develop in the right way, we could have some really decent options at centre back with Holding and those two coming through. When you look at Mustafi and Koscielny, you know these youngsters have made far less mistakes in their careers than Mustafi and Koscielny this season, and that's the sad truth of the matter. and there's a question then coming up, but I think big shout out to those two guys. They dealt with quite a lot. Yes, they rode their luck at times, but you know, they weren't scared to have a go at people. It was nice to see. On to questions, guys. Right, chat box. We've only got 50 likes. What's going on? Come on, you're better than that. Don't put in subpar performance. Give it a click. Let's have a go. You know, you're all top people. Show some love. Who's going to have the first question then? I tell you what, Ellis, because you're late, you can have the first one.
Oh, lovely.
David Keith, we've spoken about Mavropanos, so I'm not going to ask that, but thank you for the question. Lazy Python, we've spoken about Aubameyang. Rudy Rastos asks, he thought McTiernan was immense today. What did you think he was better than Sanchez? What were your thoughts?
I saw a stat, I think, that popped up that Mkhitaryan scored more goals for Arsenal at Old Trafford than he has for Man United this season at Old Trafford. So that was quite a funny one to see. But yeah, I think we've got the better end of the deal getting Mkhitaryan. I think Sanchez, on his day for Arsenal, he was a great player, but things turned sour this season towards the end of last season and he wasn't really putting the performances that he has been. And I think that start of this season that we had with him has really put his form quite bad. He's joined Man United. He's not really set the world alight. He's been in quite poor form for them. And on the other hand, for us, Mkhitaryan, I think, has been quite well. And we've missed him since he had his injury. Obviously, we're still losing games away from home and still playing poor in the league. But that's not down to Mkhitaryan. That's down to the way the team's been managed and the team as a whole. It's just the way the things are at the moment. But since he's come, I think he's done well. I think whoever the new manager is next season, he's going to have a lot of options to go picking forward with Mkhitaryan, Ozil, Lacazette, Aubameyang, all the usual suspects. And I think all those players have something that they can offer. Mkhitaryan is a bit more creative, I think, than obviously the forward guys that we got there. Maybe not so much as Ozil. He's probably better at shooting than Ozil. So it just gives us another option there in midfield. And he's definitely going to help, like I said previously, on Thursday against Atletico. I know we created a lot of chances, but they're a man down last Thursday. But this coming Thursday, it's going to be difficult. We know that they've got the away goal. We know they can sit there and they can easily get a boring 0-0 draw from us. So they're not really, I don't think they will come at us. And they're going to have that extra man to help defend and counter with. So it's going to help with having Mkhitaryan back, having his guile, having him able to like take shots. He took a few shots today that on another day could have gone and obviously scored quite a good goal. It was well taken. And for me, I'm quite happy with the deal. I'll admit, at first I was sort of like, he's not been great for United and we're selling probably one of our best players over the last couple of seasons and we're getting a player that Man United don't want. But I think for both parties, Arsenal will be the happier of the two with the swap of the two guys.
Yeah, he seems a lot more of a team player, doesn't he? You know, his link-up play is superb, yeah. To be fair to him.
And I think he's helped with Aubameyang as well. I think they've both sort of helped each other settle in, obviously knowing each other from Dortmund.
It does help, obviously, but I got to be honest, I think some of his interplay at times, you know, I think he's had some poor games. I let's make no bones about it, but I think, you know, we'll see him develop nicely next season. He's surprised me pleasantly, he has. Josh, Neil Vergela says, and I should expand on this, people saying Chambers is not good enough shows what they know. Today he had a mature performance. He's gotten a lot from his spell at Middlesbrough. He looks like a future leader. What are your thoughts on that?
He was very good at Middlesbrough under a manager who was a Mourinho disciple in Ita Karanka. So someone who knew how to set up a defence and coach that properly and efficiently. I think the fact that also Middlesbrough, it's very strange because when they came up from the Premier League, they were a really attacking team and completely flipped when they went to the Premier League. So gave up a lot of possession. So Chambers had a lot more protection, should we say, especially when he was in that right centre back of a back three, a lot more protection from the team around because naturally they were set up to sit back and soak up. So it took him a lot you know, he didn't need to be as mentally quick because, you know, the ball wasn't coming to him as quickly as it would normally do in an Arsenal team that is a lot more open, should we say, with how it defends. But looking at the performance today and how it went with Mavropanos, I think they know that, you know, new managers coming in and there's arguably two, maybe three centre-backs leaving the club in the summer, either through retirement, through the fact that Koscielny can only play one game a week, and Mustafi was also wanted out of the club by Wenger in the last summer. So you could say there's a position up for grabs. And in these kind of games where it was quite simple, I think, to defend against for him, Lukaku and with him and Mavropanos together, I think had enough to contain him for that moment. But I think because of the lack of diversity in United's attack, there wasn't really a lot that troubled our defence until it was long balls in the air. But that troubles most sides outside of the or inside the top six. There's not many teams that can deal with a long ball into the box, and eventually it is going to break. So I think overall he did look really, really, really good. But I don't want to hype too much onto these two centre-backs at the moment, just to make sure, because they are going to have a mistake, and that's how we should then really treat them and look at how they're playing, is how they come back from mistakes, because that's a problem with young centre-backs. You look at someone like John Stones, how he came back from the adversity of his first season at Man City. It's all about confidence, because and how you can pick yourself back up when you get a knock and go through that bad form. And looking, as I say, with the centre-backs that are going out of the club, a lot of those aren't going to be back for the start of the season. So this could be arguably the back four we finished with, could be the back four we start with at the beginning of next season. So the fact they're going to be around all summer, Chambers and Mavropanos, with a new manager coming in, could be a really, really good news for them, because it could be very difficult for someone like Mustafi coming back from international duty with Germany, who are going to assume they're going to progress quite far in the World Cup. Same with France and Koscielny. They're going to get quite far through the World Cup as well, so they're going to have that break, and it could be their chance to really push on. And I think they've seen that. And hopefully it's the start of a very fruitful for career for both of them.
Let's hope so. And we've got to add Holding to that as well. See, a lot's going to depend on who the new manager is. Let's be honest. A lot is going to depend on them. If there's somebody who's got confidence in their style of defending, these guys got to shout. If the new manager has an idea, I want this certain partnership there, then they may not get a fair crack of the whip. But let's wait and see. Building on that, Carl, Frintandino asks, which defensive partnership do you want for Thursday? Bearing in mind, Diego Costa is going to be chomping at the bit to go at us.
It's so hard to answer that question. It really, really is, because you really want your best two defenders. But can anyone name our best two defenders? Who are our best two defenders? You know, on his day, Koscielny can be brilliant. And on his day, Koscielny can be Koscielny on what happened on Thursday.
Okay, question for you there now, though. Koscielny always has a ricket in a big game. Okay, he always has a ricket in a big game. We go back to the Birmingham Cup final. You go back to United this season, okay? PSG last season, Liverpool last season, the Everton game last season, where he gets himself sent off for maybe the stupidest challenge I've seen in an Arsenal kit since Coughlin against Tottenham, and leaving us short, where we have to depend on a kid and a guy who's been out all season to play centre-half for us. Koscielny, I'm sorry, but can he handle the pressure? I don't think he's mentally tough enough.
I think he's definitely, this is the end of Koscielny, unfortunately. You know, he's not been terrible for us. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, he's never been good enough for Arsenal, because on his day, he was very good for Arsenal. But he has, like Jason said, always got a ricket in him, always got something that you just don't quite trust him. And I think just the last two seasons, he's declined a lot, and this footballers decline, it's what happens to them, and unfortunately he has definitely declined, and Arsene Wenger has stuck faith with him. You know, we should have looked for a replacement for him for last season. You know, we all knew about his Achilles problems. We all knew that he could not handle two games a week. And unfortunately now it's really, really showing up. So I think the new manager coming in hopefully would be a bit more ruthless, look at Koscielny and think that needs to be replacing. But it's so Arsenal for Koscielny to go and have most brilliant World Cup, to go and win it for France and come back to Arsenal and just be Koscielny that we know sort of... that is not good enough, but he does need replacing. He definitely does. Even if he's not a first team anymore, you keep him around. You say to him, you know, we're going to keep you around, but you're not going to start. It's either that or get rid of him. You know, if I'm like you, Jason, I think he's been a brilliant servant, but he's always got something in him that you just don't trust. Something that you just think to yourself, you know, there's going to be a mistake in you. And it's so unfortunate. So going back to your original question, there's no way he doesn't start on Thursday. He's going to start. There's no way you can't see him. And Mustafi is also going to play as well. Unfortunately, would you put Chambers in there? Would you trust Chambers to play that game? Probably not. Would you play Holding? Would you trust Holding to play that game? Probably not. Mavropanos, I don't even know if he can play. I'm not sure if he's registered or not. I truly don't know. More than likely he is. But it is going to be Mustafi and Koscielny playing, and you just hope that they have the games of their lives. You just hope that they are, this week, they have just been practicing on defensive training, because they haven't played today, so they should have trained Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and just concentrate on them on defense. And, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and you're seeing it, and you're hoping that they're going to have the game of their lives. Things can happen, and we're hoping that they pull out all the stops and we go through.
Yeah, fingers crossed, Nepal, fingers crossed. Ellis, Dominic Nusk asks, if Dave the Bins had a neck, would you have saved that from Flaney?
Most probably. If he was actually like normal height for a goalkeeper, he probably would have saved it. But hey.
I did enjoy that one. Okay, you got two questions. I'm going to go around you all for this. And so let's carpenter the shit out of it, but let's just get through it quite quickly and wrap this up for today. But K-Man 1867 asks, if you were to put a bet on who would be our next manager, who would you pick? Josh, I'm starting with you.
Oof. If I had to put a bet on our next manager, I would go with Jardine. But it's not who I'd want, but it's who I'd put my bet on.
Fair enough. Ellis.
I'd go Jardine as well. I think that's who I'll put my money on.
Okay. Carl.
I'd go Allegri. I think he's going to be the next one.
He's just signed a new contract with Juventus last week.
That means shit. Just means he gets a bigger payoff when he leaves.
Yeah, payoff. It's like we're going to do that, though.
Arsene Wenger is going to re-sign. That's all a big joke.
I tell you what, if that did happen, part of me would die and the other part of me would laugh forever. I'd be in tears. Some people would be so upset. They'd be hilarious.
It'd be so wild for them, isn't it? Just to say, oh, we can't find a replacement, so he's going to stay for one more year until he gets what he wants.
Definitely.
Oh, people would go apoplectic. I tell you what, there's a couple of people who might jump off bridges. It would be quite funny, to be fair. To follow on from that, I think Luis Enrique is going to get it. I've got to be honest with you. That's why I put my money on. But we wait and see. Marble Halls TV asks, I want to go through you all again, okay? Would you mind if the new manager played boring but successful football? Josh.
I would mind. I'd be impressed for a start, because I don't think this squad you can produce boring football from it, to be honest. I think there's too much flair, too much creativity in it to really throw out that kind of football.
Okay, fair enough. Ellis. Oh, he's on fucking mute, isn't he?
Oh, the dickhead.
Look, he's grinning like a cat.
Sorry.
What a dickhead.
You turn up late, and now you have the audacity to be on mute.
Fuckhead.
You dick.
Just for this night, leave me alone. I need to sleep. I just like housework and fix shit.
So
what's
on.
The question now? I've completely fucking forgot.
Would you mind if a new manager played boring but successful football?
No, I wouldn't mind. As long as it wasn't like the new standard, a couple of seasons of boring football and a few trophies would be nice. But I think after that, I'd want someone to come in and actually play some attractive football, because I've been spoiled as a young-ish Arsenal fan and only seeing nice attractive football until recently. So I would like to go back to that. But I wouldn't mind a few trophies before.
Okay, cool. Carl?
Not at all. If we play boring football and we won a couple of trophies, like Eddie said, I wouldn't mind in the slightest.
I'd share Josh's view with this. I think we get a bit too much flair in the side. I think some of the players, you know, we're always going to play attractive football. I wouldn't mind us settling down, sorting out our defensive issues. And, you know, right, let's play out from the back. Let's work in it slowly so we get a defence right. And then we're able to play. But no, I wouldn't mind that at all for a while. But, you know, hey-ho, let's go. And funny enough, ask the Gunner in case. He makes a really good point in the chat box. Who's winning with boring football in the world? I don't think there are many teams who are winning with boring football. So, you know, it's just one of those things. He also asks, don't you think a one-on-one mentality will be just to attack rather like a threat? He would be double-minded. All right, I don't kind of understand that. But quick look at Thursday, guys. Very brief. Josh, your thoughts?
Well, I missed the first leg, so I can't say about how we performed against Atleti. But to get 1-1, I think going into it, I think we can score away from home. I know our away record hasn't been great, but I think if they can't get up for any game this season, you know, this one's got to be the one that you get up for. But I think we can do it in 90 minutes. I think we've been a little bit rocky. I know they're on some kind of absurd, or they were on an absurd clean sheet record, but that doesn't matter. They haven't played a team of the quality of Arsenal in that period. And they've been losing away from home. So I think overall, I am quietly confident, should put it that way, but I don't want to hang my hat on a result, because a little like John Welsh, I've also got a little curse in me or two.
Oh, you got about 18, mate, but never mind. Ellis?
I don't share the same amount of optimism as Josh. I think it's going to be really difficult to score a goal at their place. They've kept like 11 clean sheets since the turn of the year at home, and it's going to be very difficult. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised by the way we performed when we did play them. We created more chances than I thought we would, but that was purely because they had a man sent off in the first 10 minutes and had to defend for 80 minutes. To concede the way we did was horrible and shocking and so frustrating. I would have been happy going there. If you'd said to me before the first leg, you could get a man sent off and you could potentially go into the next round of 1-0 lead, I'd love it. To have their way goal, they essentially now can just say to themselves, we'll sit back, they're going to have to come at us, we know we can defend, and we'll just get more than counter. Obviously, they might have to fit again Diego Costa, which is an issue for our back four or our defence. But you've got to go in with some optimism. You have to believe. It's just the way football is. If you don't believe, what's the fucking point? So I just hope with Mkhitaryan back in the team, we'll have something a bit more to break apart whatever defence they're going to try and throw against us. And I hope our defenders don't have too many rickets. And if they do, they're not punished.
Yeah, fair enough. Carl, your thoughts, mate?
Like Ellis, I don't share the optimism. I'll be very honest, because they don't have to score. I think that's what everyone's sort of missing. If a game ends up 0-0, they go through. So we have to come up then, which is going to leave space. And let's face it, our defenders are not exactly the best, and our midfield aren't exactly covered themselves in glory in protecting our back four or three, whatever you want to call it. So unfortunately, you know, like Ellis said, you know, we got to hope. You can only hope. But unfortunately, I just don't see it. I don't. And I'd love to us to go out there, pull off a 1-0 win and, you know, shut everybody up. I really would. I'd love it. And Thursday gave me a little bit of hope because we did. I know it was 10 men. We actually went for them. And how we didn't score more goals, I don't know. It was reminiscent of the Man United at home game. Remember when we peppered their goal?
Yeah.
We just couldn't score for love nor money. But, you know, we have to hope. We have to hope to go out there, and if we can grab a 1-0 win, I'd love it. Just a 1-0 win and that's it. Or even go out there 1-1 and win on penalties. I'd even take that right now. But, you know, as much as we can score, and I believe that we can go out there and score, can we keep a clean sheet out there? And with our defensive record and our away record, it's very hard to see that happening.
I got to be honest with you, boys. I'm a bit more optimistic than you. Yes, they had a man sent off last week, but we were playing very well before he got sent off. He got sent off because he couldn't handle the pressure. And those are two definite yellow cards. He deserved to get sent off. We created plenty of chances last week. We were poor with our finishing. I think we'll create chances this week again. And I think, you know, I can see us drawing 2-2 out there. I can see us scoring, no problem. I don't think they're as great as they're made out to be. I certainly, you know, they caught us with a lucky long ball. You know, if Welbeck hadn't have tried to buy the free kick, you know, and put a challenge in, that long ball doesn't go through. Koscielny doesn't make the mistake. You know, there's a knock-on effect there. But I think with Mkhitaryan coming into the team, we add another level of creativity. And I'm always confident. I'm always confident. Screw it. Let's go out there and show them what's what. You know, we've got enough talent in this team. There's no problem there. Okay, as long as our guys turn up, we can do it.
And you're making me believe, note, Jason. You're making me believe.
This is sport. It's about playing with ambition. It's about playing with ambition and it's about having a goal. If you go out there with a negative mentality, you're not going to get anything. You've got to be positive and you've got to have a crack and you've got to leave it all out on the park. If we draw one all and lose on penalties, or we lose to them and we've left it all out in the park and we've played well, then I've got no complaints. But, you know, you can't be defeatist. Look at the talent we have in our team. They've got Antoine Griezmann. Fantastic. We got Mesut Ozil. They've got Diego Costa. We got Lacazette. We've got Aaron Ramsey. We've got Henrik Mkhitaryan. Come on, let's go out there and have it. And that's all for today.
Tell you what, if the Pirates ever got rid of their manager, I think we've got one on this show. He might be able to get the boys up for it.
Boys, I only do team talks and I charge a lot. My thanks to you, Josh. Thanks for turning up, pal. Thanks for being on time. You were superb.
That's all right. I made sure I was ready. I booted my Mac up early, made sure all my plugins were in set. In place, and so I could get here on time, Jace.
Well done. Good job, mate. Carl, great job, pal. Well done. And again, thank you for being on time, Carl. You are London Underground's finest.
I'm used to sort of keeping to a strict timetable, and, you know, I planned ahead. I knew what time the game was going to finish and knew what time it was going to go. So in anticipation, I booted up my PC early, made sure I was ready here on time, because that's the professional sort of person that I am.
And if it doesn't go your way, you'd strike.
Exactly.
Well, that's all I can say, Carl, is from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your professionalism and your thoughts. You know, you're a wonderful man. Ellis Mel.
Fuck off.
Ellis Mel. Fuck you, Ellis. Fuck you. You can't be bothered at the time. Who do you think you are?
Do
you think you are?
It's a new computer and I didn't know you had to do all this popping shit.
You buy your MacBook and you get what you deserve. Tough shit. The curse of Danny remains.
Yeah, but it's worked fine when I did finally get it sorted out and I was on here. It's worked fine. Not like my other one.
Yeah. Hey, look. Thanks for turning up, pal. Much appreciated. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, to the chat box. You've been superb. Oh, George Kyle, I don't give a fuck if you're gonna give us a thumbs up. I don't care about you. I don't care. You're an idiot. Who cares? Take care. Goodbye. To the rest of the chat box, you've been superb. Well done. Another cracking discussion in there. I really enjoyed it. As usual, thank you very much. Go on, give us a thumbs up. Everybody except George Kyle. George Kyle, we don't want your thumbs up. We don't need it. We're okay as we are. And that's it for today. The pod will be out on Tuesday night. We'll be doing it. It's Gav from She War. It's John Welsh. It's myself and Danny. And then I don't know who's going to be on the radio show on Thursday night, but hopefully it'll be a positive one. But as usual, guys, thank you very much. Yeah, some people will turn up on time because that's the type of people we are. No. That's it. Thank you. Good night. Take care. Keep it Arsenal.